Good morning. Last week we began a new series on this subject of I'm still a believer because of. You remember we shared a little, and then we went into the Old Testament and looked at one character named Abraham. I want to do the same thing today with a different character. Of course, the character is Job. There's no doubt from scriptures that Job was a really, really great guy. A really nice man. He was a godly person who trusted God and respected God and sought to follow and worship God. He was a good father. He cared not just for his kids' material things, but he also cared for their spiritual matters of their life as well. He was a man that people respected. They used to delight to come into his presence. So if you read the book of Job, you'll find all this stuff said about him in that book. He was gracious and loving. He would seek out people to help, especially the sick and the needy and the homeless and the widows. He would do his best always for such people. He was an extremely wealthy man, but unlike many extremely wealthy people, this guy was liked. People didn't envy him for his wealth, but they liked him because he used his wealth. They saw that he used his wealth so well for helping others. That's why his sudden change in circumstance, which was sudden and which was horrific, it wasn't just something that was hard for him to bear, but it was hard for others to bear too, and hard for others to understand. When someone like Job goes down so abruptly and completely, then you begin to wonder whether you may be next, because you know you really don't measure up to someone like Job. You know, when you look at that change, you realise how quick it happened. It took just four messengers on one day bringing really bad news, plus a sudden and catastrophic health change for Job to completely wreck his life in a moment, as quick as that. Do you know, it doesn't take much, does it, to greatly upset the pathway of one's life? Have you noticed that? Perhaps suddenly you get the news that you or someone close to you in your family has got cancer that's terminal. It changes your life straight away, doesn't it? Or if there's a horrific car accident, someone in your family is affected by it. Or perhaps it might simply be a financial collapse and you're in stress where you've never been in stress economically before. Or you lose your job after having employment security for many years and it's gone. Or maybe that one of your family gets arrested. Or they've found that they've been using drugs and addicted to it. It changes your life. Everything about it changes. What you're going to do with your life from then on, your priorities, everything changes, and it happens so quickly, in a moment. So it was with Job. So morning, I want us to pop back in history, in our minds, and we're going to interview Job today. We're going to ask him that question. Same question we ask Abraham. Job, why are you still a believer? And we find Job sitting in the same place he's sat for several days. It's the actual rubbish tip just outside the village. Now, this is no Tamala Park, let me tell you that. This is horrible. This absolutely stinks. It is the place where they would take the rubbish and also the excrement, the dung, and they would burn it. And that's where we find him. And he's surrounded just by under a handful of his good friends who have gathered together and decided that they will come and comfort him. Now, the reason Job is there and not back home is because he's been banished. You see, the villagers have had enough of him being with them because they look at him and he's covered in these sores. These open sores, they're all over him from head to toe. They're horrible. They have completely changed the way he looks. And the villagers have looked at him and said, he's got something and it could be infectious. Out. And the other thing was, in those days, they looked at him and they said, obviously, the gods are angry with this guy. We don't really want a neighbour who the gods is angry with. He might get the wrong house. Out. So that is why Job was there in a place of banishment. He's been abandoned as far as his country. He's been rejected, not just by his neighbours, but also by God. So we come and we approach him. And we don't realise that this is that moment just before the Lord is about to speak to Job and his friends. And Job and his friends by this time are all talked out. They've talked themselves empty. And now they're just sitting there thinking about what's been said, reflecting on their thoughts, waiting to see what will happen next. So we come and we get as close to Job as what we dare. He doesn't look too good and he smells a heap of a lot worse. He's still scraping away those sores with a bit of broken pottery which makes our nerves quiver. And we come to him, we do our best to hide our pity and also our sense of revulsion. So Job, we say, all this happened to you. All this is going on. And look where you are now. Tell us, why are you still a believer in God? Why are you still a follower when you've got to go through all this stuff? And I reckon Job would look at us, probably with very tired eyes, but would still pierce right through us, and he would say something like this. And we should have had some pictures, which I've forgotten all about. Leave that one with you. I think he would say, despite all the things that have happened to me over the last few weeks, despite all the bad things which I'm going through right now, I've never yet broken the connection between God and me. I've never yet cursed God and turned away from him. And I never will. And there are many reasons for that. Many reasons why I am still following God. But there is one major reason I want to share with you. One major reason that keeps me holding on to the hand of the Almighty God. And I will share that with you a little later. But before I tell you that reason, there's something else really surprising that you need to know. And I can imagine at this point Job kind of leaning towards us with the intense look in his face as he says to us, you know, I've learned more about God and me during these weeks of suffering than I've ever learned about him in my whole life up to this point. Now we're struck by that. That's a tremendous claim to make. And we say, you mean you reckon you've learned more through what you've been through now? He said, that's right. He said, well, tell us more. Tell us about that. We want to know about that. And he would begin and say, well, you know, let me tell you this. For the very first time in my life recently, I felt that I had a complaint against God. I never felt I could complain about God before, but this time I felt I had a justified complaint about God. I didn't feel that God had treated me fairly at all. And so I began to tell him to tell him how I felt about life, and to tell him how I felt that he had left me and abandoned me. And of course, once I started doing that, all my friends got quite upset. And they began to talk back at me. And they began to defend God. And they began to say to me, well, it's you, not God. You must have done something really wrong for God to be allowing you to go through this at the moment. And they said to me, look, Job, whether you admit it or not, your wrongdoing against God must be real, because it's proved by the fact of what you're going through. No person goes through what you're going through unless they've been bad.
You've been bad. We don't know what it is, but we know that you've been bad. And Job would say, you know, that really stirred me up. That really got me cross, because I knew that I hadn't been that bad. I knew that I had lived my life right from the beginning on the premise that I lived my life to please God and help other people. All I ever did was in accordance with what I knew of God's character. And so I lived to please him. And I knew from others that I did quite okay, because they told me. And of course, because I lived that way, I expected God to do his part for me. I expected God to bless me, because I was doing my best for him. And I can tell you, for many years he did. He gave me so, so many blessings. But then it all went pear-shaped. Everything went wrong, and I mean everything. My children, my servants, my livestock, my houses, destroyed in a flash, as quick as that. Some by enemies, some by natural disasters. And look at me now. I'm rejected, I feel abandoned, I'm covered in these horrible sores, I'm overwhelmed by the darkness, but I'm not overcome. And the reason I'm not overcome is because of what I learned in these past few days about me and God. You see, says Job, I began this experience of suffering with a belief grounded in me from when I was a little boy that this life is all there is to hope for. And once this life is gone, that's it. You rest in the grave, and that's the end. And I learned that because of that, it was my responsibility to take this small life that I've been given and to live it to please God. And when that life is ended, my opportunity to please God is gone. He's finished with it. And also, I took it that it was God's responsibility to respond to me in this life by blessing me when I did what was right and disciplining me when I did what was wrong. And naturally, God's only got this little period of my life to do it, because once I'm dead, I'm finished. I remember saying to God one day, said Job, I beg you, God, don't forget. My life is just a breath. I will vanish from sight, and no one, including you, will ever see me again. I will disappear in the grave, or vanish from sight, like a passing cloud. I even went on to say to him, said Job, if I have sinned, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you made me your target? Have I become a burden to you? Why do you not pardon my offences and forgive my sins? For I will soon lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I will be no more. But, says Job, you know, as I continued to debate all these things with God and heard more from my friends, I found my thoughts begin to shift in my head. I started to yearn for a friend in heaven, someone who could be close to God, who could talk to God on my behalf. And as I thought about yearning for a friend in heaven, I thought, well, why couldn't I be in heaven too someday? And then it came to me that the reason God can justly hold back from his blessings from me in my lifetime, the reason he could with integrity allow me, his so faithful servant, to struggle to the point where I'm overwhelmed by the darkness, is because this life is not all there is. There is a life that will follow, a life during which God has plans to bless his people without limit. That's what I learned, said Job. That's what I learned through this path of suffering I've been through. And it's been a very difficult lesson, and I don't always get it right, and sometimes I struggle and I get very negative. But deep in my heart, this is what I know. I know that even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. As my eyes pour out tears to God, on behalf of a man he pleads with God, as a man pleads for his friend. And even more than that, says Job, this is what I know. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. And indeed, says Job, you know, it's this learning experience that has made the reason for my faith firmer than ever. It hasn't weakened it. It hasn't destroyed it. It hasn't decreased it. It's actually strengthened it. For the reason I am still a believer is because there is no other God like him in trust and faithfulness. He who is an awesome God is the only one with whom I can trust my future. Yeah, that's so good for us to hear from Job, isn't it? That he could say something like these things. They're all in the Bible. You can find them if you trace them through. In such a time as this. You know, for what Job only saw the edge of, we have seen so clearly, haven't we, in Jesus, that he is that special friend who intercedes constantly with God. And he can intercede constantly with God because he is God the Son. They have that relationship within the Trinity of the Godhead, Father and Son together, talking about us and caring about us, presenting our case before God. That's what we know now. And we also know that whatever life pours upon us in the way of good things, but also in the way of darkness at times, we have this awesome God. And in his hands, our future is secure. You know, this was confirmed to me in a very poignant way recently when I sat and talked to my friend Colin Atwood, and I was talking about this sermon, and I asked him, look Colin, can I share what you're going to say to me? He said, yeah, please mention me. See, I said to Colin Atwood, you know Colin, you're a bit of a Job character to me as far as your suffering is concerned. For those who know Colin, those who don't, Colin was going great guns, really, with his life. He had worked it out. He was going to retire a little earlier. And he knew what he was going to do. He had his plans all set out. And then he was stricken down with cancer and told it was terminal. He was told, actually, that he probably wouldn't live past February, March this year. And not just that, it was just all he had to go through, the horrific sickness, the pain, the lack, the losing of his independence in so many areas. And yet, you know what? Colin came alive spiritually during the time of his suffering and has a great hunger to know the Word of God. So I said to him, Colin, I'd like to ask you, as a Job character, why are you still a believer? And he shared with me the story of how he became a Christian when he was a young person. But with situations that were around and things that affected him, part of himself, he turned away from being active for God. He decided that wasn't the route he would take. And so, being part of a church, and that wasn't important to him, that wasn't there. And just a kind of learning the Word and being changed by it just wasn't there. Then the dreaded news came that he had this cancer. Within the darkness, he sensed the closeness of God again to him. And he told me, you know, it's been easy to reaffirm my trust in Jesus. It's been easy because, this is the reason, there is no higher purpose in my life than knowing God. And God is the only one who is big enough to trust with your life now and for the future. Colin said the fact that his life is still here on earth, despite the doctors who said you won't be here, and they still don't know why he is here, he seems to have even got stronger the last couple of months. So the fact that my life is still continuing on earth is for me a sign that God has a purpose still for me here before he takes me to the place where he's got a purpose for me forever. You know, I don't know where you are today. You may be cruising through life. Praise God, we do cruise a lot, don't we? Or you may be having it hard. Or you might bring things to mind, fears in your heart this morning, just from what we've talked about, and concerns. But you know, the same principle applies to us. We need an awesome God. So when the good times come, and when the dark times come, we may be overwhelmed by it at times, and we are, aren't we? But we're not overcome. And it's not because of anything in us, but because our God is mighty to keep us safe forever. Let's pray. Father, at times I feel I feel I don't do justice. We skim over so much. But Lord, I know that your Spirit can generate in us the thoughts that you want us to hear and to think about. And I ask, Lord, that you will make those thoughts stick with us the rest of this day and even tomorrow and the week that comes. You bring to mind at the unexpected time something you're saying to us right now, because this is so important. I thank you for these stories in the Old Testament. Thank you there's a depth in them that we hardly scratch the surface of. But Lord, I thank you for what they can teach us. And I praise you, Father, for faith in others that we can see and know that that faith you generate in us too. We thank you for that. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.